Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the September 2012 PCRM 21-Day Vegan Kickstart Teleclass. This is Lanny Mule Rath, the plant-based fitness expert and your Kickstart coach, fitness advisor to the Dr. McDougall Health and Medical Center discussion boards, author of Fit Quickies, 5-Minute Targeted Body Shaping Workouts, and the Plant-Based Blueprint. And tonight's topic, top 10 reasons you need to move your body. I'm so excited to see so much enthusiasm for this topic. Oh, and also how just 5 or 10 minutes of exercise powerfully impacts your health. And the good news is many workouts make a difference, so we don't have to think about big chunks of time is what we need to get more fit. We have about 600 signed up for this event, and I want to thank everyone for taking the time from what I know is a busy day to come on in, and it's like raising your hand for health and fitness. And what you are doing with the 21-Day Vegan Kickstart is no small thing. It is a big deal, and most congratulations to you, and congratulations also for recognizing the huge value that fitness and simply moving your body have for your health, your weight, your quality of life, and your happiness. So I want to get started right away with content, but I have to cover a couple of logistics first. First thing is, if there are people on the webcast and you can't hear me very well or there are audio problems, could you type in a message so that I can see it on the screen? Hopefully, if you can't hear me, you would have said help. And no one said that yet, so that's good. Next, if you would like to ask a question during the call, what you do is press, if you're on the telephone, you push *2 on your phone, and that raises your hand on my screen, so I would be able to hopefully get to your question. And if you would like to ask a question via webcast, which some people have already entered in, you would just enter it in the window there. Other than that, if there is a dropped call, it doesn't happen often on this service. It did happen on a teleclass I did last week where I was actually dropped and didn't even know it, no dial tone. But now I've got two windows up here, so if I get bumped out or don't go away, I will know to call back in. So usually these things don't happen, but, you know, technology does go awry. So that said, there's our logistics. I am recording the call, so I'll be able to get it to you later. And let's go ahead and start with the positive impact of exercise on health and weight loss. That, too, is no small thing. You know, it somehow seems like everyone's enthusiastic to talk about food because we all love to eat. But there are certain things that only moving your body can do for your body, or that can work so much better when you hitch up your good diet with simple exercise. So let's take a look, all right? Ready for the top 10? I'm going to start with actually 1 and 2, or there's a lot of overlap, so I'm kind of lumping them together. Top reasons to move your body, because exercise improves your body composition. And it does that by reducing fat weight and increasing your muscle mass, not only by burning calories, obvious reason number 1, but by enhancing this specific enzymatic action that actually discourages fat storage and amps down your fat genes. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Discourages fat storage, yay, and amps down your fat genes. Now, this is always a popular topic, and how to turn down your fat genes, because it's true. There are some of us who have a greater genetic predisposition than others to manufacture and store and hang on to excess body fat. And I happen to be one of them, and that is why I have so much compassion and understanding when it comes to this realm. So you've heard me talk about that before, about my personal connection. But the way you're eating and the way you move both work in this. With the 21-Day Kickstart, you're eating a whole foods, low-fat, vegan diet, and you are addressing the dietary part. And decreased dietary fats translates to decreased calorie intake and the potential for a calorie deficit, which results in fat loss. Now, here is where we need to bring a very important enzyme action into the picture with LPL, and that stands for lipoprotein lipase. And the way to remember that is the word lipo, which we all know from, you know, lipo things have to do with fat on your body. Now, here's how lipoprotein lipase works. Guess what? I'm going to call it LPL. Thank you. Now you know what I mean. This is an enzyme. And this enzyme just hangs out along the tiny blood vessels of your body. And its job is to extract particles of fat in your blood and transport them to one of two places. And I know you've probably guessed what they are. Either to your fat cells for storage or to your muscle cells to be used for energy. Now, where do you want the fat in your bloodstream to go? No one ever tells me they want it to go to their fat stores. They all say, you know, I want it to go into my muscle so I can burn it for energy. Well, here's what physical activity does. It actually slows down the LPL that is in your fat tissues, making it harder for you to store fat. And it increases LPL activity in your skeletal muscle. So it's pushing fat into the muscle cells. It's called intramuscular fat, to be used for energy. Now, this is obviously the more desirable option of the two. I'm sure we have no argument there. On the other hand, physical inactivity does the exact opposite. It increases your body's LPL activity in the fat tissue and slows it down in the muscles. So the result, you store more fat easily. Oh, great, right? So the effect of the exercise, you would be surprised at how quick and dramatic this is. Researchers at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center measured LPL activity, that's that enzyme, in a group of athletes. Okay, now this is done by removing samples of muscle and fat with a tiny needle. Now the LPL activity in these athletes, in their muscles, was twice as active as it was in their fat tissue LPL activity. So that makes sense, right? Because they're athletes. So the enzymes were really readily pushing the fat into the muscle cells to be combusted for energy. So here's what happened with this research. They told the athletes to stop exercising. After 2 weeks of sitting around and being couch potatoes, the amount of LPL in their fat tissue increased more than 4 times that in the muscle tissue. 4 times, you guys. It's as if inactivity had shifted them into fat storing mode. So inactivity, even too much sitting, results in suppressed LPL activity in skeletal muscles. The good news is that you can give yourself an LPL tune-up just as quickly. One single session of exercise can result in LPL activity in the muscle cells to spike up to 10 times its previous level. This is really good news, and this is why I give the advice of don't sit too long. Don't sit for long periods of time. Just by getting up, even over the course of an hour, and moving your body around, that has this kind of impact, let alone what your workouts do. So there we go, reasons number 1 and 2. Let's go to number 3 of top 10 reasons to move your body. Improve your blood lipid profile. We know all about blood lipids working with a 21-day kickstart because there's such a focus on improving your lipid profile. This means your triglycerides and your cholesterol, and you know that the lowering of these can reduce your risk of coronary heart disease. So triglycerides, as you probably know, are fats in your blood. And you reduce your triglyceride levels when you exercise because burning stored fat in your body cuts the fat levels in your blood, to put it quite simply. And there was a study, I'm going to tell you about a study that was reported in Preventive Medicine. And the conclusions of this study were that exercise improved lipid profiles regardless of changes in body composition. Now, you know, body composition is your muscle to fat ratio. You can weigh a certain number of pounds, but a certain percentage of that is going to be lean body mass, and a certain percentage is going to be fat, right? So the lipid profiles improved regardless of changes in body composition. In other words, even if you are overweight, you are helping your health, your lipid profile, by being more active with something as simple as walking. So a little bit more about this study to give you some more details. The purpose of this study I'm looking at my notes here. It was through West Virginia University. It was to examine the effects of walking, just walking, you guys, on lipids and lipoproteins in adults. 25 studies. They compiled information from 25 studies with 1,176 subjects. And using random effects modeling and statistic significance, they found that walking decreased 5 and 6% of LDL, that's low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, total cholesterol, HDL, everything was reduced. So the conclusions were walking reduces cholesterol levels independent of changes in body composition. There was reason number three. So hopefully you're already motivated plenty, but I've got more for you. Woo. Number four, top reasons to move your body. Exercise improves insulin sensitivity. And you've probably read Dr. Barnard's book on diabetes. An excellent read. If you have not read that, don't wait until you get or hear about or know someone with diabetes to read it, because it has good information for all of us. But exercise helps. Physical exercise or activity, whatever you want to call it, it has a very beneficial effect on insulin sensitivity in not only insulin-resistant populations, but normal populations. That means even if you don't have an insulin problem, you want to keep yourself healthy with the activity. Now, let's review what insulin does, okay? It's like the little bus that transports the sugars from your blood into your muscle where it can be used for energy, or into the liver for storage. So high-fat diets and body fat stores also will slow down that function of insulin. It's almost like it's harder for it to get through the fats in your bloodstream and in your tissues. And Dr. Barnard uses a really good analogy on this. He compares the fat in the diet is kind of like the grease on a slippery doorknob on the muscles that insulin is trying to open to get open and get in, and it just can't get a grip. So every single hour, or every single bout, I should say, not hour, of exercise increases insulin sensitivity for at least 16 hours after you exercise. And studies reported in the Journal of Sports Medicine tell us that physical training can be considered to play an important, if not essential, role in the treatment and prevention of insulin insensitivity. So move for your insulin. Reason number five, I'm going to grab a sip of tea here. And I want to do a real check control of my panels. Make sure we're still all connected. All right. Number five, exercise combats osteoporosis. Every time you move muscle against bone. And the muscle tugs against the bone just a little bit. And you inspire a response in that bone to lay down mineral. To put it simply, to kind of keep bone density and bone integrity. Now, sedentarism, that's the word for sitting around, not moving much during the course of the day. And it includes even if you work out for an hour a day, but you sit around for the other eight, you still suffer from many of the harmful effects of sedentary lifestyle. So that would be considered sedentarism. It is the worst thing for your bones, along with, back to diet, excessively acidic or high-protein diet. So when we're told, you know how they always tell you weight-bearing exercises protect your bones? Well, it does that in two ways. The stress of impact as you drop into gravity with every footfall when you're walking or moving about or doing some kind of ambulation, or due to the muscle pulling against bone as happens when you lift a weight or do a push-up. So if you handle like a dumbbell in your hand and you curl that weight in, you're actually having those muscles pull against the bone. Whenever you do anything that challenges your balance, which everyone should be doing, it pulls muscle against bone, which helps build bone density in your spine, in your back, in your hips. All these are really important. Number six, top reasons to move your body. Exercise keeps your musculoskeletal system primed. Have you ever heard yourself say, or maybe somebody you know, use the excuse, oh, I'm just, you know, getting older, things just don't work as well as they do? Well, the truth is, decreased functionality of your musculature that we think just comes along as long as part of getting older is really largely due to decreased physical activity. You have to keep challenging muscle to hang on to muscle. As a matter of fact, we know that within 3 or 4 days of not challenging muscle, it will start to lose size and strength. So you need to regularly do resistance exercise of some sort. You have to keep challenging muscle to hang on to it. And the same is with flexibility and cardiovascular fitness, which translates simply as your ability to walk briskly through the market without getting winded. You know, we all need that. We're all not planning to be marathon runners, but we all need good endurance for these smaller tasks of life and make everything much easier and more enjoyable. Number seven, top reason to move your body. Exercise prevents a metabolic slowdown. Now, it's related to number six. You don't get to blame the years on the calendar anymore. Even when it comes to the popular term metabolism, with the hormonal shifts that occur as we move through life, which is my way of saying getting older, there is a little bit of a slowdown as we're not rebuilding as much as we were when we were first building a body as we were younger. But research shows us over and over again that people who are in their 80s and beyond, when they start an exercise and resistance training program, they can build muscle almost as rapidly and effectively as people decades younger. True story. So you can't blame your age anymore. But, you know, as we get older, let's face it, we just keep thinking of ways to make things easier, to save steps. We just are not as active as we may have been 2 or 3 decades ago. But, it's an easy fix. First, don't sit too much. We'll talk about that more about that in a minute with the second part of the program. And start to increase the activity in your week schedule if needed. So exercise prescription, 3+ overall hours of cardiorespiratory challenge. That doesn't mean you have to go out and run for 3 hours. That means you take a walk for 30 minutes a day, 20 to 30 minutes a day. We can do that. 2 to 3 sessions of resistance training to challenge all the muscles of your body and stretching to stay flexible. Okay, that's what exercise is. Number eight, top reasons to move. Exercise is essential for combating arthritis. Now, we know that we are directly addressing arthritis with our whole foods, plant-based, vegan diet. Good, good, good. But exercise is also important because it improves your aerobic capacity, muscle strength, and the joint and functional ability. So, in other words, you have to exercise for healthy joints. It keeps them fully mobile so you can keep moving with flexibility, which you need. Strengthening the surrounding muscles helps support those joints. So joint movement also transports nutrients. I'm back, everyone. I heard it right away as soon as I clicked off, so I hope nobody went anywhere. I just dialed back in. So I stopped speaking as soon as I heard a click, so you didn't miss a trick. All right. Where was I? Oh, okay, we're talking about endurance exercise. So many arthritis patients who regularly perform endurance exercise also find they're able to increase physical strength, develop a better mental attitude, and improve arthritis symptoms. So even if you are not experiencing arthritis at this time, this may help you out with a loved one. All right, number nine, top reason to move to your body. These number 9 and 10 are big ones. I didn't do these in a hierarchy of number 1 was the most important. Actually, these last two are really, they're critical. And it might surprise you, but these are really important. I always coach these as big benefits of physical activity. Number 9 is because exercise reduces stress, improves your mood, and your mental outlook. And it will reduce some of those coping behaviors we have, like smoking and excess of alcohol, excessive caffeine consumption. Now, we all know that exercise does this, don't we? Is there really anyone on the line who doesn't agree that you feel better after exercise than before? We all always feel better. And there are multiple reasons for this, but right at the top of the fact is that exercise can decrease stress hormones like cortisol, and it increases your feel-good chemicals like endorphins, and it gives your mood a natural boost. And this is closely related to number 10, top reason to move is because it restores your willpower reserves. It's true. And this, of course, translates, it gives you a domino effect. If your willpower reserves are increased, you have a better ability to make healthier choices in other areas of your life, such as your diet, correct? All those things that are at our higher and better interest. And to understand how this works, there's actually a scientific basis to this beyond the pleasure hormones that come from exercise. And it has to do with variable heart rate. So stay with me for a minute. I want to explain this. Variable heart rate is the fact that under normal conditions, our heart rate varies. You know what happens when your stress goes up? Your heart rate rises, right? You have more tension in your body. And when you're more relaxed, your heart rate becomes normalized and slows down. Well, when we're chronically stressed, our heart rate tends to stay up at a higher level. So we're always at a stress rate. You know what that feels like. You ever had those days when you just feel like you're just rushing and zooming inside and you're stressed out. You can't make a change. Well, there are multiple ways to do it, but one way is to exercise. It will help restore your variable heart rate so that when you're stressed, you will have a natural response of a raised heart rate, and when you're not, you'll be able to bring it back around to normal so that you're not always up in a high-speed state. And I got to tell you, willpower reserves are limited. We might start out the day with plenty of willpower, and as stress is increased over the course of the day, you have problems, the car doesn't start, you're late to work, you didn't get breakfast, all these things add up, and it's no wonder by the end of the day your willpower reserves are hammered down and you have very little, it seems, self-control or willpower. Well, by restoring your willpower over the course of the day through many bouts of exercise, through breathing exercises, you can restore it and have a much better approach toward the rest of your day. So that is so important. If the ability of exercise to restore your variable heart rate results in increased healthy eating, emotional control, anxiety relief, improves your confidence and self-esteem, you know that I can do anything feeling that exercise delivers, and it's no small thing. So this brings us to, and I see we've got some hands up here on the, this is great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to finish the rest of the presentation, which will take just probably about 5 more minutes, and then we are going to go to some of these questions. So I'm going to stay on a few minutes longer than planned. If that's okay with you, we were scheduled 5 to 5:30, but I want to take some questions. So let me get you to the short workouts or long. You know what? 5 or 10 minutes of exercise does powerfully impact your health. And when it comes to which is better, short or long, here's what the research says. Are you ready? It's the one that you'll do. True story. Recent studies have asked this question, and the results concur. When it comes to shorter workouts more often or fewer longer workouts, the health benefits you get run neck and neck. And there's now more information, though, that this is an absolute game changer. This more frequent workouts through the course of the day, we now know that too much sitting is hazardous to your health, and it's essential to break up hours of sedentary non-activity with short sessions of activity. So it doesn't matter how healthy your diet is, you have to punctuate sedentary stretches of time with activity. So what you can do is, here's what I do, because I'm doing a lot of writing now and I'm doing final edits on my book. I have long hours when it's easy to just get caught up sitting at my computer. I set a timer so that every 45 minutes or so, I make sure that I get up. I'll do some kind of activity. I'll maybe go up and empty the dishwasher, take a short walk, do a Fit Quickie, which is something like a few lunges or do some push-ups. Do something on my feet, even just standing. Do you know that just standing and reading makes a difference? because you use all these little microscopic, small muscles in your body are doing these small isometric, that's what I meant to say, isometric contractions to help hold your body upright, and that all counts. So in study after study, there's no significant difference between long bout and short bout exercise groups. So if you don't have big chunks of exercise time, it doesn't matter. Find 5 or 10 minutes over the course of the day and let them add up. You can do 3 10-minute sections of cardio, and that will give you like a 30-minute cardio workout. It's not training for a marathon, but for health and fitness. That's what you need. So to recap, the top 10, number 1, calorie burn and body composition advantage. This is the top 10 reasons for moving your body. Lipoprotein lipase function is improved. It helps shuttle fats into your muscles. Number 3 was improve your lipid profile. Number 4 was improve insulin sensitivity. Number 5, combat osteoporosis. Number 6, keep your musculoskeletal system primed. Number 7, prevent metabolic slowdown. Number 8, combat arthritis. Number 9, reduce stress. And number 10, ding, 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 improve your mental outlook by restoring variable heart rate. There you have it. Okay, let's see if we can take some questions here. I'm going to start one here on the webcast, and then I'll get to, I see some hand raises too. This is great. Oh, okay. Oh, lots here. First question is from Lynn. Lynn says, Lanny, do I have to count calories? Reason being, I can eat a lot. Also, do I have to eat only 3 set meals a day? I'm not quite sure how it all works. Help thanking you for all your advice. Lynn, I'll tell you what, I understand this so much because coming from a long and colorful history of dieting and controlling my food and counting everything, I had the dream that I would be able to find a way to eat that would not require that I had to do that. And I finally found it with a Whole Foods low-fat plant-based diet. You can eat according to your hunger and fullness signals, but it requires that you select from the foods as we're doing in the 21-day Kickstart. Reducing the dietary fat, especially if you're one of those people like me that easily stores fat, you can eat according to appetite. And I have something coming down very soon down the pike for you, Lynn. I want you to write me, okay, because I wanted you to tell you about it. It's a plant-based blueprint, and what I've done is actually put together a food journal of what it looks like when I eat, because people are always surprised. First, they think I could never have had a weight problem. True, I did have one. And they don't believe how much I can eat, but it's because of the way I work within the whole food plant-based diet. So, Lynn, send me a message, okay, and I'll tell you more about plant-based blueprint. Emily asks, what is the best exercise for balance for an 82-year-old man with neuropathy in his feet? My husband is having a very bad time with balance. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you what, first thing is I don't know what's causing the neuropathy, and I'm sure you're working with a physician on that, but you can challenge balance by sitting. If you have access to a big Swiss ball, like an exercise ball, or even one of those mini trampolines, you can sit on either, and a little bit of bouncing challenges your balance because your core muscles and the muscles in your back just scramble to stabilize you. Plus, then from there, you can do upper body exercises while sitting on an unstable device like that, like a ball or a trampoline. If he really has a low balance, then I would suggest starting by having a spotter, someone near him, to make sure that there isn't any kind of challenge that he topples. But what you want is to be thrown off balance, so that's the best place to get started on that. Thank you for that question, Emily. I'm going to go over to the phone, and I'm going to call on Delaware, Ohio. Hi, this is Lanny. Hi. Oh, dear. What happened? Okay, Delaware, you're going to have to call back in because as soon as I unmuted you, you went away. Okay, I'm going to go back to the Q&A, and hopefully she will call back in. Pamela says, can you tell me, getting enough protein is a concern when eating a vegan diet. Do you have a good formula for calculating how much protein one needs on a daily basis? Yes, I do. And there are a couple resources. There's a little bit of disagreement on this, but you know what? It's all in the same realm. The World Health Organization recommends that you have a 0.83 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. So the way you find out your kilogram is you take your weight in pounds, you divide it by 2.2, and then you would multiply that by 0.83, and that would give you your gram requirement. The Complete Idiot's Guide to Plant-Based Nutrition, very similar. She says 0.8 grams or kilogram per day. So those two come out so similar. There's really no quibble on it. For example, if I take my weight is 138, if I divide that by 2.2, that equals 62.7, and multiply that by 0.80, it gives me 50 grams of protein a day. And that's just a range or field. It's not like if I have less than 50 one day, I'm going to, you know, collapse. Nobody suffers from a protein deficiency in a well-fed country like ours. So it's really, I think that the concern of protein has really been hyped by the media and by the protein pushers who have products to sell. But that there's an answer to that question. In Dr. McDougall's book, In the Starch Solution, he also gives a range of between 30 and 80 grams a day. Of course, it would depend on your weight. So it's interesting. I had someone ask me, I had a family member who has brought this up, you know, what about the protein? And I told about these numbers, and they were okay with that. But what they didn't see is how what I ate actually translated to protein. So you know what I did? For a day, I went through and I kept track of my grams of protein and everything I ate. For like it was not a loaf of bread, although, you know, I can eat several pieces of bread in a day sometimes. How many grams of protein are in the bread? How many grams of protein are in beans? There's protein in vegetables. There's protein in, you know, everything pretty much except about fruit. So you just have to count all those up if you're concerned about it and see where you are, and you probably have no reason to worry. Great question. Thanks, Pamela. I'm going to go back and see if, our caller did not come back on the phone. Boo. Okay. One more question here. Here is Victoria says, I'm allergic to virtually all nuts. How do I get enough good fats and other nutrients that come from nuts? Also, what can be substituted in recipes that called for nut butters? I just leave the nuts out when they are in a recipe. Well, are you allergic to seeds, Victoria? Because you can get good omega-3s in flax seeds and in chia seeds, and I think some in hemp seeds as well. So you only need trace amounts of these essential oils, the omega-3s, and actually vegetables have omega-3 oils in them. Well, I know that broccoli has omega-3 in it. But when it comes to recipes, I know nut butters. Well, I would have to say what recipes, because if it's like you know, a cake-like thing or a bread or a sauce, it's going to be different. But I will use, you're not going to get the flavor and the feel of the fat, but you can use like oat milk is something that gives you kind of a creamy. There's also a new product out called, but you said you're allergic to all nuts. I don't know if you're allergic to peanuts, probably. So if you want to write me specifically or come on into Facebook and ask about a specific recipe, that would help me, okay? Okay, Sonia says, how to keep a flat stomach? Do you have some DVD in Spanish? Because I have a lot of, she said, I have a lot of parents who would like to get DVD in Spanish. Maybe you mean patients? Thank you for all you are doing. Well, Sonia, I don't have anything in Spanish, but you know what? I hope you have gotten my fitness kit with the 7 seconds to a flat belly move, because that would be very easy for you to teach to any of your parents or patients or whatever it is that you're working with. Flat stomach is a combination of two things. It's a combination of conditioned muscles. Our abdominal wall gets very easily deconditioned because we don't challenge it enough. And it's also excess abdominal fat, so you need to address it from both places. 7 seconds to a flat belly addresses isolating and overload and goes deep abdominal muscles. And it's very effective. After 3 to 5 days, your stomach will feel and look flatter. I've seen people lose an inch off their pooch area in 10 days, and it's not because of that they lost a bunch of fat. It's because they got better at using those muscles. Those natural girdling muscles regained their function. So that you can do, and also anything that challenges your core, that challenges your balance, is very good for that. Okay, I'm going to go and see if our phone caller came back in. Nope, okay. I'm going to keep going through these questions. Thanks for staying with me. Just, I love this. I love teaching through Q&A and connecting. S from Haltom City says, I would like to see every day doing exercises so we can practice. Could you tape some for us? Maybe we can watch you on YouTube. Thank you. Well, I do have videos and audio exercises on my website in the Fit Quickie section if you want to take a look there. And that is the focus of the book that I have coming out in February, too, is these 5-minute targeted exercises. So, and some of those are on my website for free, too. Here's Chris says, I live in the heartland. And industrial farming is obviously huge. There are no vegan places here, and our grocery stores are very behind when it comes to this type of thing. I'm really curious about this lifestyle, and I'm very naive about it, but I'm concerned that I don't have a shot at this due to where I live. I do hope you will be discussing vegan lifestyle in depth. Thank you so much for doing this. All right, back to the food. Yay! I'll tell you what, Chris, you know, I live in California, but I don't live in a hip spot. I'm up in the woods in the middle of nowhere, and for me, it's probably every week or two, actually, I will have to go down, I'll take a 40-minute drive and go down to a market. There is a market with an organic session a little bit closer. It's about 20 minutes away, so I guess I'm in luck there. But if you stop thinking about in terms of specialty foods and just think of foods like vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and starchy vegetables. Those things you can get pretty much in a supermarket anywhere in the country. You may not find specialty vegan foods, but you don't need them. I eat very little of processed foods that are what we might call vegan foods. I base my meals on, and Plant-Based Blueprint is going to be great for you too if you want to send me an email, Chris. My meals are just based on what have I got for a starchy vegetable or whole grain? Is it some kind of, you know, sweet potato or yam, or is it brown rice? What's for vegetables? Wow, there's some broccoli, there's some summer squash, there's some bok choy or cabbage and onions and carrots. You can get pretty much those anywhere. And what do I have? I can have beans. I can get beans in a can in the store. And I can get also fruits. There are also places that you can order some of these things in bulk online through Amazon, some of these things that you might want that you know you're going to eat over the course of time, and that is a good resource for you, too. You might want to look up anything that you've heard about. For one thing that comes to mind is, boxed tomatoes or certain whole grain items, brown rice, any of those things you can order in bulk online. So vegan lifestyle means that you look at the abundance of things that you can eat that just are not from animals and realize that that is what's going to fill your plate. And I know it takes a little bit of transition time because we've been taught, okay, you've got your protein, you've got your vegetable, and then you've got your starch. Well, we now know that your protein is sufficient within your vegetable and your starch and your beans. So as long as you are eating a variety of those things, you're going to be fine. What may be a concern to you then is thinking, well, what do I eat? Well, go back to where I started. Think about a whole grain you like, brown rice, or maybe sweet potatoes. Okay, then what can you put on that? Do you have a vegetable like broccoli and onion that you could steam fry? That's the way I usually cook. Is I use vegetable broth. Put it in a pan. I can use stainless steel. I just hover over it and stirring under a high heat until it's cooked like I like it. I put it over the grain and maybe have a little bit of beans on the side. And there you have a meal. So think outside the usual meal box with that. And I hope that helps, Chris. Go ahead and feel free to drop me a note. Christine asks, are there any recommendations for getting started if you are morbidly obese? Oh, I am so glad, Christine, that you spoke up. Yes, here's what you do. If you are sedentary now and your food is what you consider out of alignment with is what's going to be compatible with your goals, first thing is I would approach both of those. And you don't, with exercise, you heard me talk already, just standing up makes a difference. If you are totally sedentary, I want you to do this. As long as your doctor approves, can you stand for 5 minutes at a time? then do that like 3 times over the course of the day. If you're coming from a place of doing nothing, if you're coming from a place of moving around more than that, then increase that a little bit accordingly. But don't think big exercise program, think, okay, I'm going to not sit so much. And from there you can progress to 5 minutes of walking, 3 minutes of walking. You can progress to, gosh, could I do some shoulder exercises without weight at first? You don't even need that. See, build on success. Find something that you can do for movement that you know you could do that's still a little bit of a reach for you and put that in. But when it comes to dietary plan, I have no idea where you are coming from. So here's what I would suggest. Your best approach then, just like you want to crowd out sedentarism with putting in little bits of movement, you can crowd out a unhealthy diet by uploading more healthy items through the course of the day. And start simple. I don't know what your breakfast looks like, but you can start with, I am just going to have a big bowl of oatmeal with fruit on it for breakfast. And that's the only change I'm going to make. And I'm going to do that every day this week. So what you're doing is you are starting an upload of calories, and it shows that we all eat over the course of the day about the same amount of food in weight, like how much it weighs. So if you start out with something that's got some good weight to it, but good nutrition and very healthy and low in fat, you've got to start. And then if after a week you've got 5 out of 7 days that you did that, there's a win. There's a star on the chart. And then the next week you add something else, like I'm going to see if I can make a nice big bowl of soup and eat a big bowl of soup every day. And I'll send you a very simple soup recipe that's on my website. I've even got it on video, because my ideal recipe is 5 ingredients or less. This one's very easy. It's a lentil soup, very satiating. It's very slimming. Lentils are like one of the most, it's a skinny food, I promise you. So anyway, week two, you continue with your oatmeal breakfast, and then you add a nice big bowl of soup at lunch. You don't have to necessarily eliminate all these other things that you're trying to crowd out. Just start to increase the things that you want to increase. Then you're going to probably start getting interested in, well, how can I move things along? What can I let go of? And then you start in on the oils and, of course, animal products and dairy foods. But start to crowd it out. Start with success. Okay, let me check. Thanks, Christine. Great question. Let me go back to our hand raiser didn't return. Okay, I guess we'll have to give up on that one. All right, a couple more questions here. I'm happy to move on to these. Okay, Dawn says, I recently started using organic coconut oil for frying, and although coconut oil is high in saturated fat, apparently it's far more healthful than nut oils because coconut oil isn't easily converted to trans fat. What's your opinion of occasionally using coconut oil for frying? Okay, I've got to give this to you. It's true that coconut oil does not go through as damaging of changes when being heated as does other nut oils and vegetable oils. But here's the thing. It is not a health food. It's a junk food. It's all fat. It may have one little bit of, what is it? There's some kind of antiseptic properties, some antibacterial, that's what it is, property in it. Well, you know, if you want that property, go get a supplement in that antibacterial thing. Don't load yourself up with a bunch of coconut oil that's really just a fat. This has been marketed in a way that is unbelievable because it's a bunch of empty calories, and I'm not going to recommend anybody ever use coconut oil for frying. You could probably have a little bit of coconut oil and a little bit of fried food on occasion, and it would not have a big damaging effect on your health. That's probably true, a small percentage of your diet, but I'm not going to recommend anybody use coconut oil for frying or that. Okay. All right. Everyone says they lost the sound, but now they're okay, and we're back. Kitty has a last question here. Does it matter if you eat in the morning before or after you walk or exercise? And I'll tell you what, Kitty, that is such a really good question, and I actually have a whole article that I will be happy to link you to if you would like to send me an email, or I can, you know, send it out in a, yeah, do that. You said does it matter, but you don't qualify what that means. What does that mean, does it matter? It does matter in that if you exercise before getting some kind of fuel, chances are you're not going to exercise as vigorously. And the whole point of your exercise is to get a challenging workout. So I recommend that people have some kind of, even something light before exercising, because it gives you more energy to do your exercise. And if you go out and you start to get diminished energy, you can start to drop in your brain function, because as you know, the brain just really demands that it has sugar all the time for some kind of good function. So if you're thinking, does it help you to burn more body fat to exercise first thing in the morning? The whole thing about burning body fat is what you want to do is increase your calorie burn through challenging exercise. And your chances of doing challenging exercises are greater if you are fueled up before you go. So, again, you didn't say what does it matter means, but there's an answer for you. Oh, gosh. I just got a couple more questions. And okay, you guys, I'm game. I'm game to stay on a little bit. Awesome. I'm such a sucker. I just can't stop. It's so fun to meet up live. Okay, let's see. Okay. I'm having to refresh my window here. If you just give me a second. Okay, I'm refreshing. I'm here. Okay, here we go. Just got back in. Let me make sure that I'm still connected. Perfect. June says, what is the name of your book and your website? You keep asking people to send you an email, but I don't know what it is, so I was late in signing in. Okay, June, it's just Lanny@LannyMuellerath.com. Or if you are in, I assume you're not in the discussion forum, but you can also get me if my website is LannyMuellerath.com or PlantBasedFitnessExpert.com if that's easy to remember. And my email is Lanny@LannyMuellerath.com, or you can just go to my website and click on the contact, which is up in the About section. My book is Fit Quickies, 5-Minute Targeted Body Shaping Workouts, and you know what? When the publisher approached me about doing this book, and I said, fine, but I have to include all three. I have to include not only the exercise, but plant-based diet and mindset mastery. So they said, okay. So all three of those in there, there's a big chunk to plant-based diet in there, so I'm very excited about that. So I hope that helps you. Contact me, June. And also, okay, Sharon says, hi, Lanny, what do you think of smoothies and juicing? I love a good smoothie and I love juice, but you know what? I don't use them very often, and I'll tell you why. They can be a really easy way to overconsume calories because you're actually drinking your calories. And they have also been shown to, even a smoothie that might be full of all kinds of greens and fruit and whole fiber foods, once it's all sliced and diced and mixed up as in a smoothie, it can increase the absorption level and the drop in your blood sugar after. So it doesn't have the same satiety and satiation as if you'd sat down to a whole bowl of the fruits and vegetables. Does that make sense? So I will have occasionally make a dessert that's basically a smoothie. I'll use my Vitamix and maybe put some frozen cherries in it, a little bit of almond milk, and eat it with a spoon. That's kind of how I'll do that. I haven't had juice in a long while, except with tomato juice on a plane. I guess that would count as juice. But I think they can hold their place. They can have a place if someone is ill and cannot chew very well, and they need to have excessive nutrition that way that they just can't chew through a salad if there's some problem with that. But that's I have an article on juicing on my blog too, so you can do a search for smoothies in the search window, and it answers some of those questions. So oh god, these are such great questions, you guys. Okay, all right, here's Bernadette. I am just getting started with changing my eating to healthy eating, vegan, and beginning to exercise daily. I will take charge of my life. You go, Bernadette. What is the most important thing to get started? My biggest challenge is breakfast. What do I eat for breakfast? Where I can get full. I am not full when I eat a piece of fruit. Well, Thank you. Well, Bernadette, no, a piece of fruit is not going to do it, and I bet you've come from that. Maybe you did that Fit for Life. I did. I challenge anyone to have done more diets than I did. Fruit, a piece of fruit in the morning is not going to last you long, you know, maybe 20 minutes. I already recommended earlier about the bowl of oatmeal in the morning. It's a great way to get started. So if you like whole grains, hot cereal, make a big bowl of that, pile a piece of fruit on it. You can even sprinkle a teaspoon of sugar and splash a little bit of nut milk on it if you feel like you need the old-fashioned cereal feel. Eat until you are satisfied, and it's a great foundation for your day. Then what you want to do is think in terms of what are all the whole foods out there that I like and that I can prepare easily. Any of the whole grains, any of the vegetables, starchy vegetables. That's what I mentioned earlier. I just go through the market. What looks good, make it so that you are piling your plate by the end of the day that you have something from all three of those realms. But you do want to get fullness at breakfast. Very, very important for everything through the course of the day. Anyone who's having cravings late in the day or excess desire for sugar, I say, okay, what'd you have for breakfast? Or what'd you have for second breakfast? I have those sometimes. What'd you have for lunch? And I can always find it early in the day. Sandy asks, is tofu a whole food? Actually, tofu is processed. It's kind of blended up, and the fiber is largely reduced from it. So, and it's also a high-fat food. I will use tofu, but I use it judiciously. I enjoy it, but I don't have it every day. I might have it maybe once a week and just a little bit kind of for seasoning, or if I'm making a special food, like a special dessert at the holidays, tofu has a lot of applications that way. Oh, June says, what do you do for sugar cravings? Well, June, I just addressed that. I make sure that I eat to satisfaction from early in the day. We have a habit, and I can't speak for you personally, but for many people that I coach and work with, we have a habit of kind of delaying eating through the course of the day, kind of like saving up calories or saving up for something later, and then we wonder why sugar cravings hit. It's because you need some carbohydrate in your system to fuel your brain, to fuel your body. And if you are cutting back and holding off, then it's going to catch up with you later. So that is my best advice for sugar cravings. Martin says, can you tell me the best way to lose weight on a plant-based diet? I'm a vegetarian but not a vegan. Hey, Martin, if you go to my website and look up my McDougall diet failure story, and that's really a big chunk of my book is based on that too. I was an overweight vegetarian for quite a while, and what made a difference for me was the oils and the dairy, because I was eating dairy for a while, but eliminating those, actually crowding them out with more of the whole foods, makes a huge, huge difference. So if you find yourself easily for gaining weight or you having a hard time losing weight, the first thing to do is look to where the fats are in your diet. And you can even, write down your food for a day. And if you want to send it to me and say, where's the fat? I'll tell you exactly where it is. And I can't tell you that that's what you're doing, but that's number one tip for shifting to weight loss and eating enough quality foods through the rest of the day. Denise says, what if a person was fat at a young age? I heard that these people have more fat cells than thin people. What effect does this have? Well, it's true. We manufacture these fat cells earlier in life, and then as we go through life, as we want to lose weight, we can empty those fat cells out. But apparently, they're still there, and can fill up again if we over-consume calories. So the effect this has is that if you are predispositioned to easy weight gain, you probably will always be, but you can very easily manage that by what you choose to put on your plate. And that's what my story is all about. And I don't worry about how many fat cells I have. I just concern myself with how can I not fill them and still be full. I wanted to be full without being fat. And the way you can do that is with a whole foods plant-based diet, eating enough from early in the day. Hey, Clara says, can you email us a list of 10 benefits of exercise? Oh, that is a great idea. I would like to see your menu plan. So you must be talking about the plant-based blueprint. So you, again, can send me an email. That's just coming out. My website is being redone, and I'm going to have this something new for you quite soon. So I wish I had it for you today. All right. Let's see. Almost through them. Barbara says, do I have to limit fruit if I am pre-diabetic? You know, Barbara, I would work with your doctor on that, and hopefully you can find a plant-based doctor who would help. It can be hard to find someone who's understanding, but that's my recommend for that. I'm not a doctor, so I can't advise you on the pre-diabetic, and I would also read Dr. Barnard's book. That may give you some suggestions, the Reversing Diabetes. If you don't have that, that's one to pick out. Here's another question. Do you have any favorite spices? I don't use any oils or sugar or salt, and I'm trying to find the right combination of spices to add flavor to rice, salad, and vegetables. Yes, I have my new favorites. I discovered this company in Napa. They had this whole storefront of spices in jars, and I found smoky paprika, which evidently has been out there for years but was new to me, so very excited about that. Curry vindaloo. Any varieties of the curries, but not just like the curry that's off the shelf in the fridge or in the grocery store, because there's lots of different kind of curries. And I just created a new veggie burger a couple of days ago, and I used black beans, I used short grain brown rice, I used tempeh, which is soybeans that's been fermented into kind of a little bit of a block, and I used sweet potato. And my seasoning was the smoky paprika, and it was just delicious. It's coming out in a plant-based blueprint, so that recipe will be out there soon. Anyway, there's my story on my favorite spices. Okay, a couple more questions here. Here's Sylvia. Let me go see if my telephone caller came back in. I'm not giving up on that. I'm just not. Remember star 2 if you want to do a question on the phone. Sylvia says, I recently had a very bad bout of severe joint pain. Having been an on and off vegan for 25 years, I finally made the connection between my intake of certain foods to my weight and total well-being. Yay! Congratulations. I finally found Dr. Barnard's pain-free book. You said Bernard, you mean Dr. Barnard's book? Had been studying the info on the PCRM site for a while and started a Happy Sexy Vegan Facebook page. Oh, would you please come to my Facebook page and tell me about it there? Thank you. It's Facebook, Lanny Muehlrath is my Facebook page. Within 2 months, I had over 200 followers. Ooh, that happy sexy, you know, who can resist? My significant other is a health coach, also concentrating on mindset change. Very good. So I'm very educated in the subject and have many friends in the coaching industry. He is not a vegan, so I keep bumping into his commitment to protein and my quest for a vegan program. I not only need a coach, but a mentor. I would love to teach what you are doing. This call has been so valuable. I purchased your 10-week program and joined the 21-day Kickstart program and so excited about all of this. Oh, so Sylvia, this is a comment, not a question. This is fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. So you're doing the Bootcamp Mind. Awesome. That's a motivational program I have that I think she's referring to. So, yeah, if I can be any resource for you, Sylvia, just shoot me an email. Let me know. All right, I'm going to take, okay, it's a little bit after the hour, so let me do a real quick refresh on this and see if any other quick questions have come in. Any recommendations for replacing eggs? We miss our eggs, egg white omelets on Saturdays, and tofu recipe but not satisfied. You know what? There's nothing that I think, unless the tofu thing, of an actually eggs on your plate. There are substitutes for eggs in recipes. There's energy replacer, which I mix up with hot water, and it gives you some leavening and hold power in baked goods. But in terms of something on your plate, there's not going to be an omelet unless you go with a, you know, tofu recipe thing. Sorry. Alice says, I don't care for a cooked oatmeal. What kind of cold cereal would be recommended? By the way, I've been a sugarholic, and since I started the 21 Kickstart, I haven't craved it at all, and I don't miss it. Woohoo! Congratulations, Alice. Well, I'll tell you what, cold cereal, I love cold cereal, and I tell you what, I could eat cold cereal all day long. And it can actually, some of these cold cereals can be like cookies in a box, you know what I'm talking about? But even the ones without a lot of added sugars, they're more calorie concentrated. When you have a whole grain that you've cooked, you have infused it with water, so you get satiety and satiation from having more content with lower calories than when you have a dry cereal that you pour in a bowl and add a liquid calorie to, like milk or juice, right? So I would say anyone that doesn't have added fat, that has no, if minimum, added sugars to it. Like I know there's an Erewhon Rice Krispie that I like to have on hand, and I use it as a dessert. I'll get a big bowl of blueberries and sprinkle some of those on it. That's kind of, you know, and occasionally I'll do a non-sugar raisin bran or something, because as I said, I could just do, you know, cereal all day. But I don't do it every day because it's more calorie concentrated and is not as helpful to me in what I seek to do here, which is live according to hunger and fullness and be slim at the same time. So congratulations on your getting rid of the sugarholic thing. Now, Sylvia says, can we talk about B12? What's the best way to get B12 and how much? I have a video from Dr. McDougall on my website, Sylvia. So go to LandyMuirrath.com, type in B12, and that will come up. He gives you the exact amount. I believe it's 5 micrograms a day, and you don't have to have it every day. You can stretch it out, you know, have it intermittently over the course of the week or the month because your body does store it. And he recommends a specific variety of B12 too. So LandyMuirrath.com or PlantBasedFitnessExpert.com and do a search for B12. Okay, Sandy says, thank you. Oh, look at all these thank you notes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Oh, Emily came back in. Thank you for answering my first question concerning my husband and his trouble with balance. He is diabetic and has been having trouble with neuropathy for the past few years. Does neuropathy in the feet have anything to do with balance? Well, certainly it would with standing balance, because you can't stand on a foot that you can't put your weight on. So I don't know about the biochemical or the neuro connectors with entirely through the body, but sure, there's a connection. See if I missed anything. Now I just do not want to leave anybody out. Thank you for the thank you notes. Okay, I think I've got them all that were put in on the webcast, and there's no one with a raised hand, so it looks good. All right. Thank you, everybody, again, for coming to the call, for taking the time, and for jumping into these questions. I'm really excited that there was so much participation, because that's what's so fun, is meeting your needs. I hope you got some good information that you can use, and I'll have a recording out for you later. For those of you I invited to write me, please do, anyone, write me, because I can usually direct you to an article on my site that will help you, to a resource that might not even be on my site that will help you, tell you about a program I have that might help you, and just stay connected. Congratulations again on doing the 21-day kickstart. Please come by the forums. If you don't know where they are, they're just connect. I believe you can connect through the daily emails, and I think mine's coming up in the next couple of days. So you'll see me there. Come on over and talk in the forum. That's another place for questions. Other than that, thank you so much for coming to the call. We had an amazing turnout, amazing participation. And I'll see you in the kickstart. This is Landy Muirrath, the plant-based fitness expert, signing off, and I'll talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.